This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, if I could grab everyone's attention, we're going to go ahead and get started. We will call the EA meeting to order. It's 12:17 on Wednesday, May the 6th. First, I want to thank everyone for coming. Really appreciate folks taking the time out of the day to come and talk about an important issue with the Employee Assembly and the folks from Transportation Services. I want to tee up the conversation when we get there, but I'll do this in my introduction now. One of the things that we decided to do was separate two transportation issues, and we had the first TCAT forum, and then this is a follow-up for Transportation Services forum. Which will be essentially everything that relates to Cornell Transportation that's not TCAT related. We'll have further follow-up conversations throughout the next semester and the following months to come with TCAT. But this conversation today is commuter services, you know, parking, bike, pedestrian, everything that's essentially non-TCAT related. So just wanted to tee that up for everyone. If there are questions about TCAT, we're happy to take those and funnel them through and connect with the appropriate TCAT folks. But today is really about Cornell-specific transportation as it relates to everything other than buses. Just wanted to tee that up. We do have several other business items that we need to get to. So I would ask that there is the wrong agenda went out. There's two items that we'll do under new business. There's a resolution on slope day that we'll talk about after the TCAT discussion, and then there's also a resolution about the employee survey that will come afterwards. So just restructuring the order a little bit. But first I want to ask if there's a call to approve the minutes as presented. We didn't get the minutes. Oh, because those were in your email.
They were in the, yeah, in the box.
Okay, so we'll postpone the minutes till next week. Sorry,
it's okay. So I just want to explain what happened. Everyone knows my email, my aliases. Sometimes I'm a student, sometimes I'm a staff. So something happened over the course of the past 2 days. So I tried to send things out on Monday and Tuesday. They didn't go out. That's why the minutes weren't sent out. And that's why the agenda is a little weird. So we'll get that sorted out. I know I'm now downtown, so I can't just pop over the assembly's office and things like this. We'll see when I screw stuff up, but I'm stopping there afterwards. We're going to get this sorted out for you. So, sorry about the delay. That's all on me. I'll take that one.
Great. So, we will do that at the next meeting. I apologize if that didn't go out. The next piece of business is the EA resolution of shared governance, joint declaration, and honor and celebration of President Gorton. This is a joint effort between all the shared governance assemblies that was presented to David at his bow ties and goodbyes event, but wanted to formally pass this here in the employee assembly. So I'd entertain any questions or comments on this.
A motion to close the discussion.
There's been a motion to close the discussion. There's a second. Is there any dissent to that? All right, seeing no dissent, that moves by unanimous consent. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Okay, and there's a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, please raise your placard. All those opposed? All those abstaining? All right, seeing none, that carries unanimously. Thank you very much. I think everybody will echo the sentiments in that as well. And I know that the president was very appreciative for everyone's efforts in thanking him for his 9 years and his commitment to his shared governance. The next piece of business is from Curtis and BJ, which is the one-year terms for newly elected members. I will let Curtis and BJ tee this up.
So this is just a continuation of last year's last meeting EA election task force and basically trying to get the whole EA ready for the new structure, whatever that may be. So everybody running for this election will be for 1 year term. So whatever change you mean, that means the whole EA will have to run for elections and positions the next year. Very simple resolution.
Did you want to comment?
No, that's great.
I guess I'll open this up for discussion at this time. If there's any questions, points of clarity, discussion, debate around the topic. Tanya?
Have new people who would be running, kind of outside of it, but have they gotten new?
Any other questions?
I wasn't at your last meeting, so I was just wondering what the background is and why you came to this decision.
So we may be moving towards a more unit college-type representation. So
it's the task force.
For the task force.
Right.
And so we still need more time to figure out what the new DA was going to be. But instead of having like staggering out people's terms not ending, we decided just to move to a one-year term so then when next year's election occurs, whatever the new DA model will be, everybody will be able to run for those positions.
So the other piece of it is we didn't want to shorten anybody's term, you know, so it was used the next year as sort of a building year. We can solidify, we can do sort of our due diligence and go and meet with college and unit heads, get them on board, create the buy-in, and then start with a new assembly. Because one of the things we didn't want to do was try to jam it into this year and have these elections be different and then there'd be two systems essentially running at the same time.
Okay.
So that's the rationale behind it.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
While unlikely, is there a possibility for a total turnover and how we would address that?
We would address that based on the elected representation of the staff. Should members decide to run and not be reelected, that's the decision of our constituents, and there's really nothing we can do, and there's no reason why we would want to prevent the decision of the constituents from choosing their representation. You know, it's our job now to create a structure that folks can choose and place their ideal representation into. So there is a possibility that it could look completely different. The likelihood of that, based on what we've seen in past performance of the employee assembly elections, may not be entirely plausible because it's just there's not as many people considering it as a possibility. But that's one of the things we're trying to work to change. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Sort of. I mean, I do understand the representation of, like, if that's what happens, that's what happens. But then if you have an entire assembly of people that have never been on the assembly before, so, like, where the leadership and structure comes from.
You mean the continuing
to propel it.
Right. Yeah. I would imagine the assemblies would be a guide.
Yeah, so the continuity, and this happens in the student assembly every year, every 4 years. Staying in the graduate ranks, there's not always that continuity. But I think that those members passionate about the system and the assembly, even if not elected, would very much try to serve as, you know, liaison and support and assist in that transition. My personal opinion is I feel like it's highly unlikely that that would be the case, but it is a possibility.
CJ? The reason why this resolution came forward is that at some point we are going to have some kind of a changeover that was going to be done. I mean, with if we do any kind of new transition, it's going to happen at some point. We figure it's best to have it once we choose what it's going to be, whatever a new assembly structure would look like, and then have everyone enter that new assembly together, rather than keeping what we have currently and then having it that staggered election cycle happen into the new assembly. So we figured if we're going to try and reboot the assembly in whatever form that looks like, why not everyone enter that in together rather than have that enter in staggered? And I guess the last point too is that I think we're as an assembly, we're not necessarily exclusion. Like if you want to become involved, we always welcome that. So there's many ways to get involved and volunteer as well.
Sorry.
How do we deal with this in light of our current charter that has certain states on it? Can we go against the
Mm-hmm.
That's why it has the wording in the reference to the
representative. Yeah.
I just didn't know we could.
Yeah, so we introduced this at the last meeting conceptually, so that it's sort of a charter. It's not a charter change. It's sort of a charter backstop of a process. And I don't see any reason why the president's office or council's office or the office of assemblies wouldn't support that process. So we didn't. Is there a motion to vote for Bridget?
I have an additional question, if I may.
Sure.
One says to allow the assembly time to review, want to put a deadline in there?
Well, the deadline is actually the next election.
I think the danger of it being the next election is I would hate to see us sitting here on May 6th next year saying, we've got to go to one-year terms again because we haven't figured it out. So can we, I think what Bridget is going, can we put something in there that says by
January 1st?
January 1st, we will have a recommendation of what it will be.
Sure. Well, we already have a recommendation.
Yeah, but
we have a theory. We don't have so that gives us several months to have a fleshed out.
So would someone like to propose a motion to amend?
I would like to move to amend the resolution.
So let's get the amendment. So I'm looking at line 26. In order to allow the 2015-2016 assembly time to review the election task force recommendations and eligibility transition of the assembly members and new structure for recommendations are implemented. So where do you see that going in, and so with what language?
So my suggestion would be we add another, therefore be it so resolved that the, whatever the committee is, the elections task force present a recommendation of a new structure no later than January 1st, 2016.
Yeah.
I would say that if they no later than, therefore, if it's ready in October, it's ready in October.
No later than. Okay, so that there's been a motion and a second. We good, DJ?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up for you right now. So, could you use the line again for that?
It's a new whole line.
It's a whole new.
It's a whole new. Be it therefore resolved.
Be it so resolved.
It's a whole new line here.
Yeah.
Or evolved maybe because the final that you've got the final there. So be it so resolved that the election task force will provide. What did I say?
Will provide a structure, a formal structure for
recommendation.
Yeah, but.
By January 1st, to government.
No later, how are we going to do? No later than.
Yeah. Nope.
No.
So it's a formal recommendation, no later,
no later than.
Strike the by.
Yeah.
He'll clean that up.
He'll clean.
I think that's the essence of it.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of the amended as it's written? Keep it up, guys.
Can you please one more time?
All those opposed? And abstain? Great. So, with the resolution as amended, any more discussion or any motions?
Motion to close discussion.
There's been a motion to close the discussion. There's a second. Is there any dissent? All right, seeing no dissent, we'll close the discussion. All those in favor of this resolution, please raise the placard. All those opposed? All of the same. We got one extension, two extensions. Great. Okay, so that's carried. Now we will move in to the transportation discussion forum. What I would ask is we do need to have a hard stop on this forum by 1:15 at the absolute latest so that we can allow 15 minutes for the last part. I will try to be a timekeeper and make this efficient because there seems to be a lot of people here that would like the opportunity to speak. So we'll carry a similar format to last time. I'll turn it over to Bridget here in a moment. She'll give a little bit of an introduction. She has some folks that she brought, which I'll allow you to introduce. And I'll just sort of keep track of the time. I would ask that we keep questions concise and brief and to the point in the spirit of time. Allow Bridget and her team a follow-up to that. And then if any more discussion or dialogue needs to take place, we can connect the question asker and the appropriate folks offline to try to resolve that in more detail. Or schedule a follow-up forum with more time allotted for further discussion as we go through. That's sort of the ground rules. If anybody has any questions or objections to those, please let me know now. Seeing none, I'll turn it over to Bridget.
Service and and efficiency. And we do now have 6 electric vehicle charging stations. We found that considerable demand for it, and we staff actually in the future. And so we have a plan to continue to use the EV charging stations. Some other staff here, we have
David's a tech support guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally
tech support guy.
Most universities and departments are financial funding to go back to that academic mission, providing academic maintenance, any user of the system is a cost deposit. And so we build this $8,000 space, which will hold up really nice if nobody uses it, weather will deteriorate. However, asphalt isn't incredibly durable, but it's one of the only options. And then installing in this area is really good stuff. And we have high demand for parking. So we have cost. Economics, supply and demand, you don't charge for something, and that's because some other campuses are moving towards a charge model because the narrative is direct for the supply and demand and economics. They don't have enough time to do it. And then availability. That somewhat goes to supply and demand, but I have and this is more towards the Princeton model, but I have a photo to show you that if you don't charge parking and you're not here monitoring and managing it, there won't be a parking space available. There will be a hunt for a parking space, circulation, and you may never get to work on it. So, and you may be able to do this, and you're probably familiar with the parking lot.
Bridget, could you just speak louder because we can't hear you very well back here.
And then we do support the climate action plan, and there are components of that. Most of it is programmatic, but there are a few conditions in which require some financial resources as well.
understand that, you know, it's a very important issue. So, I've brought a team of experts that are probably better qualified to answer any specific questions that you may have. I can try to answer any questions otherwise. But I'd like them to give them a chance to introduce themselves, I'll tell you what they do, and then perhaps some new questions to be directed to those folks. And then when we do have, I'll ask the panel members to repeat the question before you answer. So, I'm going to look at group.
I'm Amy Ross. I manage the parking systems and the communications. We're always interested in knowing how we can more effectively communicate with all of you. I mean, we have some channels, but, you know, the new age and better ways to talk theory. We'll talk about that a little bit. Interested in hearing what questions you might have or any feedback you have to give us.
My name is Gary Kameen. Very excited to be here. As you see, transportation demand management and outreach. What the heck is transportation demand management? My job is to help encourage alternative forms, working with human resources, like working from home. That's one less single occupancy vehicle coming that day. Compressed work week, the 410, biking to work, walking to work, or even creating less traffic flow as far as if you're over East Hill Plaza, you using technology to, and working with CIT, using technology to communicate with people at Day Hall, so you don't necessarily have to even get on the bus. Promoting carpool, you saw Zimride, it's a rideshare platform that we use, and you see the little signs on bus stops, it's Bike to Work Day, May 15th, you'll see that Zimride little logo on there as well. You entice the people to log their commute. We give away some nice prizes on a monthly and yearly basis. And I'm pretty excited to hear what roadblocks from the alternative ways that you may want to come to work, what roadblocks are stopping you. So whether it be offline or drop me an email or even here, GRC22 is my net ID. I welcome all kinds of feedback no matter what temperature. Thank you very much.
My name is Helen Day. I'm the customer services manager. I've been at Cornell for many years. I won't say how many now, but I've seen the transition in our department through many different kinds of programs, and including the TDM programs that we have. My request is people who answer the phones in our office or on the Maple Avenue, people who wait on you when you come in, if you come in, or if you correspond with us at the transportation mailbox and request permits or information from our staff to be answering those questions. Our staff also participate in the onboarding program that's at East Hill Plaza, or EHOP now, they just moved. Mm-hmm. We're really excited that we were asked to participate in that program. It's been, I think, probably 2 or 3 years that that's been going on, but we finally have an opportunity to talk to staff before they talk to anybody else and get swayed as to what their commuting options should be. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback for our participation, and we're really happy to do that. The other person in my work group coordinates the parking information booth, information that goes there, and not all the staff actually do it in collaboration with the field services, but we're coordinating our efforts there. The question I have, I'd like to get feedback on, is what people feel, how they feel our interaction with our office, both on the phone, by email, through transition mailbox, by coming into our office, or any onboarding experiences they may have.
I'm John Durbin. I'm the field services manager. I manage our enforcement programs. I also coordinate parking and signage and vehicle circulation for events on campus. I also work with construction managers to address their parking and staging issues that they have for various construction projects. I also am the person that also coordinates any kind of roadway, sidewalk, or parking lot closures for special events and also for construction projects.
Great. Just to get a little bit about process, if we could keep questions clear, concise. and direct, that would be great. I apologize if I don't know your name. I would love to know every single one of you individually, but I don't. So if I point or ask you to speak, my apologies in advance. So I will open up the floor for questions. If you could raise your hand, I'll try to keep an eye on whose hand goes up first and call on folks and help to moderate some of the discussion. So first question.
Hi, my name is Sandra Kisner. I've been on the writers since I think year two. And there's been a lot of changes over the years, both on the PCAP side and the Cornell side. A new one has been introduced this year that I'm hoping is going to turn out to be of short term. The hang tag, the one-day permits that we are entitled to for those days when we just can't deal with the bus schedule, we have to drive a car to campus, have been changed in two ways. They're only good for 1 year instead of three, and you are told that you can have 10 for every 4 months. You can't get them when you need them. I can get by with 30 permits, no problem. I don't need 10 of them in the summer. I need more in the fall and the spring, but I can't have them. I was told, that's where the system works, you can always buy a day pass. That can get very expensive. And since I have 10 permits coming, why can't I use them in April or March when I need them instead of July when I don't? That's basically it. Why the change?
So, is it to do with the same?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
great. So we'll sort of lump them all together and then.
If that's okay
with
you.
Sure.
I have a question along the same lines.
Okay. So we'll go one, two, and then three, and then we'll provide transportation folks time to respond.
All right. So I've got several people that are Omni riders have to drive to work for. Or maybe event planners or different things like that for their department. They have to be here late. There's no buses to take them home after, say, 4:50 in the evening, so they have to stay later. They have ill parents or children, older children, that therefore they don't qualify for the children's tuition, for the children's whatever that other benefit. Yeah, the other special things, the additional permits. I mean, 30 permits is not a lot. I mean, I've got one person here that rides to Portland. For one, she doesn't get subsidized. I mean, her bus is not paid for. She has to pay for her bus from Portland. So she's paying for her bus, and then she was paying at the park mobile, and in a week, she paid $54 for park mobile. That's insane. And I can agree with that because I ran out of permits this first quarter and had to pay in Park Mobile a couple of times for appointments and funerals and different things like that that I had to be late for. And I paid out the wazoo for the Park Mobile.
Ingrid, you wanted
to... Yeah, so did you have a question along the same lines? I'm going to. Sorry. Yes.
I have the same issue.
Okay.
And I wrote this explained to me through a new policy. And so for me, it worked out just to go to the appointments and then, stay home. Because I don't need them. I'm like, I don't need them in the summer. I generally need them in the spring and fall. So I had 20 permits still available, but I wasn't allowed to have them.
Okay. And then we have this gentleman back here, and then we'll...
I am full of business engineering. And in a similar manner, so the OmniRide, I've ride the Portland Transit bus, and there's only one bus in the morning, one in the evening, not much flexibility there. We used to get 40 permits, in fact, 30 single-use permits, and that's probably about what I need in a year, but once again, it's the issue of the timing. If I get involved with a construction project in the summer, I might be coming in earlier, staying late, and might need to use a lot of them right then. I'm wondering about what was the rationale behind changing it to that system of allocation? What does that do to the university that justifies the inconvenience, I guess, to staff?
Great. With those sort of lumped together, I will turn it over to you all.
So one of the reasons why we decided to make a change is because we're trying to be a little more streamlined and simplify our process a little bit. And I know that doesn't help you. We also are trying to manage a resource that we have. So with staff OmniRide, we have a 50% turnover every year. So of those 2,000 OmniRiders, 1,000 of them are brand new riders every year. Another 1,000 drop out of the program. If we gave 30 permits right up front and front loaded that, and in fact we have done that in the past, it creates a big problem with that kind of turnover. It's that I get into the program, I get my 30 permits, and then I drop out of the program, and then I join another program, and I get more permits, and it just became something that was hard to manage. And it puts a lot of pressure on our parking lot. So we give out 30,000 of these one-day permits every year. By the end of 2014, we had almost 80,000 active one-day permits out there on campus. We had no way of knowing when they're used, how they're used, where they're used. It becomes very, very difficult to manage. And this is one way, by putting some parameters around the program, we're better able to manage what's happening on campus.
One thing I'd like to add to that, and in reference to what you were talking about as far as the person paying $56 through Park Mobile, I've heard similar types of feedback. That's not the only time. However, one thing I highly suggest, we reach out to our office to find out what the commuting needs are from a personalized level. I feel like spending 10 to 15 minutes finding out what that person's needs are does help to where they can actually buy a permit for that short-term need that they may have, where transit is not an option for them at that time. Biking is not an option for them at that time. So
the person has to give up her OmniRide and go to paying for a permit. Yeah. Because what's happening in Alan's mother is that she has to take care of and have events on campus that she has to be here for, like in the evening. She said that one month she paid close to $200, which is outrageous. And that's not counting her gas or things like that on her vehicle or anything.
So I highly suggest once again.
Even more turnover. So how many rides your average permit on an individual basis, then you will have even more turnover because there will be people with individual needs.
And we understand that there might be that kind of turnover, but at least now we can see when we issued the permit. And that was a problem before.
And to add to the from the dependent care, I highly encourage people to fill that form out that we have online, because dependent care could be someone who's taking care of their mom, taking care of their father or brother or sister. So fill that form out to that. All those additional 10 TDM permits might be all they need, but it may not be. Once again, it's reaching out to find with us based on our current programs what we can do to help solve your commuting needs.
So I have Gina, a question from Gina, and then Curtis, and then David.
Are not eligible for these one-day permits. It's only it's an employee benefit. A lot of the turnover comes from there's a large international population that joins OmniRide. They don't bring vehicles to campus. They don't necessarily need the one-day permits, but they come in and out of the program quite regularly. So
I'm just wondering if there's a way to establish
and one of the things we wanted to do is kind of gather some feedback about this. So part of how we set up that every 4 months was based on the traditional time people actually fill out those forms and order the permit. So that was part of the data we used to make this decision. We also used it on how many people, when they fill out the form, they say how many permits do you use every month, where do you park. So we did try to gather information like that before we made this decision. But we're also open to perhaps going to, is it a fiscal year or a calendar year that we apply to the one-year annual permit? Or is it better if we do 15 every 6 months and then a set of 10 every trimester? So there's things like that that we can talk about, but I don't think we're going to go back on having them only valid for 1 year.
So Curtis, and then David, and then back here.
I'm in the right. I want to say first, I'm really proud, and I really do actually like the program and the idea to get in a bus pass. But my chief concern with what I'm hearing is question number one is with the parking passes. I do have problems with this. And I mean, I think it makes sense maybe to get 10, but I think we should also maybe trust our employees and know their. So, like, if somebody submits a request, I don't see why that request can't be granted for extra parking passes. I mean, so, like, they submit a request, like, hey, you gave me 10, but I actually need 20 during this period. I don't see why we can't trust our employees for making good decisions and that they need those tickets before this. Instead of having a set period that says, well, sorry, it's not March, you can't get more, you know, parking passes. Because I think what it shows me is that we don't trust our employees in order to be wise managers when they're making it. And I think if somebody sends me a simple email like, hey, can I get more before this next period? I don't see why not say sure, and you keep track of it, and then just December comes, you're just not a ticket. And that, because when I first read it, it was just, you get 30 parking passes, and I didn't know that it was only divided out. And I think if I use most of it in the summer or whenever when I use it, then that should be available when I need it, given my work schedule. The other thing is just where you actually can park with those passes is really difficult. For me, when I work late and use driving passes, I'm not getting off until like 9 or 10 o'clock. And there's no transportation to get to those parking lots and those parking spaces, and this is a very dark campus at night.
Yeah.
And
it's
very scary, and there's some, when there was construction, there was some dangerous detours, yeah, and trying to get to places, and then walking in dress shoes, and trying to check. Yeah. Yeah. I was a hot mess. And so
it will fall on campus.
And you might not get hurt, because if you got hurt, you're not going to get but I was just thinking like creating more options of where the permit could be used, because I know for me, like, A lot, walking to A lot at 10 p.m. is not a very smart option, you know, if you just had a long day at work, because there's no place closer you can move, you know, with the.
So just in essence of time, I think, the sentiment's passed on. Any response from?
Yeah, I'm going to respond to that. So there is blue light bus service, what we call blue light bus service, at night. We will go to those outer perimeter lots where you can park with those one-day parking permits. So if you need help in figuring out where that is, I can certainly, yeah. Or the 90 buses on TCAP. TCAP 90s, those are right nighttime campus routes. So they will go past those perimeter lots where those permits are valid.
And the blue light escort service from a safety aspect, some people, an assumption is that that's for students. For anybody here on Cornell property, where you contact Cornell police and they can give you an escort if you feel unsafe walking. And that could be even to the Hoy garage. We had somebody over at Phillips who felt not safe coming into that garage at one point.
I have to add another point. When people, and I've talked to a few people here that who indicated that because of their job-related needs, they may need to stay. Sometimes, I think departments will cover those expenses depending on the department. So you need to check with them. If they're asking you to do something, and I've talked to several people about that, they may not be able to, but at least, you know, you're going looking beyond your normal work yet, then there'll be something that will cover.
So just a quick time check-in. We've got about 10 minutes left in this discussion. So David?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if some of our programs have, like, terms on them. Like, I'm an OmniRide user. I have them for a couple of years. I was lucky enough that the bus almost dropped me off in front of my door because I moved there to a bus stop. Great. Before that, I was an A-Lot user. But I'm just wondering if, you know, if someone signs up for OmniRide, if they should be a part of that program for a year at least? Is that an option?
Well, we are required. We give them a 30-day trial period so that they could, if they switch from a paid permit, especially if it's a high-demand area, and they wanted to try out OmniRide and they found, you know, it just really doesn't work for me. They wanted to have the opportunity to get their permit back. They didn't want them to feel stuck. So there was that trial period.
And if not, is it a one-year term?
No, there is no term.
We used to have that, but people's lives change.
Yeah.
And to commit someone to a year when they may not be a tribe of us because of family or work-related reasons, it would become hard for us to enforce that.
Did you have a comment on that?
It's an extension. It's been some time since you could get all 30 permits at once. You can ask for a packet of 10, and until this current system, when you needed another 10, you could ask for 10, and if it was in February or if it was in August, it didn't matter. When you got to your end of 3 packets, that was it. See if it happened, whenever that happened to be. And it's my main problem is with the current one is just dictating when you can get them.
Could I see these two? I know Tommy had one, and then you right here. Could I ask that maybe on the OmniRide, maybe some follow up to the EAL unless you take it back? Because I know that there's some other issues. I know that this seems to have been expressed that it's a significant issue. So we can follow up and then hopefully put something in an EA update to follow up with some.
This feedback has been very helpful.
OmniRide discussion. So I have Tanya, and then we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4.
So my concern is not OmniRide related questions, but Park Mobile, I think it's great. I'd be curious to know why they go an hour increments instead of 30 minutes, because a lot of times I use Park Mobile to come to campus for a meeting, and meetings are typically an hour, so you want that couple minutes before, 2 minutes after to go back and forth. So just any thought would be given to that. And second, there was comments about, I think Gary said, folks will be flexible working for 10-hour days or whatever. Do folks who do that get a reduced parking cost, or are they still paying full?
No, they still pay. So if you have an L permit or a J or an N, you're still paying that.
It's not how many days you're using it. It's you're still using it. 40 hours.
Thank you.
Yeah, it seems to me that when we had the previous system, that buying an additional packet when I ran out of my 30 cost me $10 for 10 permits. Mm-hmm. And now my understanding is it's $10 per permit.
No, it was $6 per permit.
Yeah, it was $50 per 10 book of 10 permits. Does anybody else remember that?
You're
not selling books anymore.
No, we encourage you to use Park Mobile instead. That way you can either pay by the hour or by the day. And not by the half.
And for those of us who don't have a phone that would be Park Mobile?
We can assist you with that. And actually, there is a voice. You can do it from your desktop. You can do it from
the
a
car.
Phone. And you
or the parking spot? There's a way to do it?
Hmm. Not from the parking spot, only through calling from a cell phone or using a mobile device.
And is that all explained on your website?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So my question was for me, and that's something you could get back to us on. You don't have to spend a lot of time on it because it has to do with the OmniRide, but you mentioned that it has to do with management needs, and I guess I was wondering if you could elaborate more on how is it that you need to manage it? You know, do you need to know how many when the permits are issued, when they are being used? You know, so just to help facilitate that if people need 10 extra now, they can get 10 extra now, and they won't be using them later. So is there a way to?
Bridget?
Sure. Part of that, and we can again explain it a little bit further, is when we had 80,000 permits out there, and you didn't. So we have to assume that there's a chance that 80,000 people could be using it. And our system doesn't have
the capacity for them. So that's part of that management. And it's an asset management, so that's a liability that we have out there. And so, you know, if it gives control to the virus, it's really the management component of that.
There's a question right here.
Yes. First of all, I would like to say that I really think we should be given more advance notice if these meetings are occurring. Like, I just got this yesterday that this was happening, and I know there was a lot of other people that would like to have liked to have been here to voice their opinions who couldn't make it because of the short notice. So that's one thing. Second thing is, like they were saying, I do not have any desire at all to have a smartphone, and it's just the parking ticket people are so quick. They're like little ninjas. They come rattling down the building. I just feel like, you know, by the time you get back to your desk, you could already have a ticket.
What day?
Or came to pick me up, and he was out of the car no less than like 2 to 3 minutes. Went back and he had a ticket. I mean, and that's another thing. Where do people park when they have to drop off or pick up? It's just so inconvenient, especially during inclement weather. There's so very few spaces for dropping a quick drop-off or pickup. There's no place. And then we get these crazy amounts on tickets. I'm totally disgusted with the whole parking thing. I'm sorry, but there are so many disgruntled people, and I just think the system needs to be fixed. It's not working.
So the first part of your question I can address, and I apologize, that our meetings are regularly scheduled, and I know we had mentioned that this meeting was taking place at the original T. Cattleton Forum, and then we scheduled the announcement as well to not bombard everyone's email with different updates and things with the scheduling of our EA update, which is our monthly communication. So that's why I do take that feedback, and we'll definitely process that and work to have more of these forums and get the word out more in advance. It is a new style for us than what we've traditionally been accustomed to. Sure. And we can, and I think this is the beginning of a partnership between Bridget and the transportation services folks and the EA, because it is such an issue and something that I know there are a lot of staff that vary the spectrum on interest and concern. So trying to create more of these regular dialogues is something that we're very committed to. And we'll definitely take that and do more with that, because that's our plan all along.
I'd like to address, because you had a few questions, I think, embedded in that or comments. And so one of the things, if you see an enforcement officer hanging out in a parking lot, give us a call immediately. That is discouraged. That is not how we do things. They are not allowed to do that. They are to keep moving. John needs to know that, because really their job is to get the customer service function, make sure that those that are paying for permits have spaces. We're not out to get anybody. So if that's happening, let us know, because that is something I'm very, very passionate about. I've been doing this for 20 years. The other thing that you mentioned about the partnership, this is important. We need this feedback. I know that there's the trunk of folks, and there are things that we need to fix and change. We need to know what that is. And Greg sits on the Transportation Task Force, so that is another opportunity for him to bring feedback back. So we have a few venues in the community.
And I would encourage everyone that don't wait for a forum. You know, if you know folks that work with, please communicate with the EA directly, and we'll be definitely more than happy to either link up folks to help be a conduit of information, or to see that, wow, there's a lot of feedback about X topic. Maybe it's time to do something more. What we don't want to have is employees and staff members in the community that hold on to their frustrations and hold on to their information and not willingly share. And we're trying to create new opportunities for the employee assembly to engage with our constituents and try to create more of these opportunities. So that's really where we're coming from. So please, all of you as employees and concerned employees and staff members, spread the word that we are available, we're open, we're willing, and we're more than happy and encourage folks to reach out to us directly, whatever time of day, whatever, you know, time of year, whatever issue it might be. And if we can help, we will. And if we can't, we'll link them up with the appropriate person to get them that assistance. I've got time for two more quick comments. So we'll just do three. We'll do one, two, and then three. Great. Two, please.
The CCAT questions Gary could probably answer offline because I'm sure it's going to be fairly lengthy. So
if I could ask that after this forum, is if folks want to go out in the lobby area and continue that discussion or any offline topics to connect on to do that, just in the interest of time, right, that would be appreciated.
I just wanted to say I'm an Omni writer. I write the Portland Cornell book. And so those of us that have chosen that option feel like we're being good citizens and we're not bringing our cars to campus every day. And if one of the perks is 30 permits a year, we shouldn't have to pay 1 cent to park on campus until all 30 of our permits are used up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're already paying the amount to ride our bus anyway.
I definitely think that that's something that we'll continue to follow up on. Over here.
Yeah, Jill Albert, I'm with the library. I'm just concerned. I'd like to know who, if transportation oversees the clearing of the snow and ice from the parking lot and from the bus shelters and the sidewalk and the parking lots in particular. I've slipped twice and gone under cars because the parking lot's not clear. Now, if they cost that much money to do a parking spot, it should be clear.
Right, right. The grounds department actually does all the snow removal for the parking lot.
What if we have a problem? Who do we contact?
So there's a nut. Go ahead. You can contact us, or you can contact grounds directly in regards to snow removal anytime.
Because that has a big impact on sure. Parking on campus. You have to climb over piles of snow that the road department piles up, and then you can't get, even if you wanted to walk the sidewalk, every time you go across the street, you have to climb over.
So if I could ask, if you could share that with facilities that
offline, we can talk about that. I can
feedback, and then maybe the one thing I'd ask Bridget and the rest of the folks from transportation, maybe some numbers, some tips, some tricks, you know, something that we can communicate, you know, out through the EA, based on some of the feedback you've received today. You know, if there are folks that don't have, you know, smartphone technologies and there's a number that they can use, or if how do you report a problem, you know, who to call if there's, you know, whatever the issue might be, if you could come up with sort of a tips and how to navigate, you know, parking at Cornell that we could share and get out there, we'd be more than happy to, you know, use our methods to be a conduit for some of that information. We do have to bring this to a close. I do first and foremost want to thank everybody who came today to express their concerns and their comments and their interest in taking the time and engaging in the process. This is exactly what shared governance is designed to do. So we really greatly appreciate everybody coming out. I'm sure it was very valuable feedback for the folks in transportation. And this is the first of many of these type of conversations we'll have with transportation. And we look at this as a partnership in progressing, you know, commuting, you know, getting around and access here at Cornell. So I appreciate everybody being here. Appreciate the folks from transportation. I will ask if you are going to leave, if you could do it quietly and with the least disruption as possible, because we do have about 9 minutes to have a discussion on two important topics. So thank you all for coming. All right, BJ, the first one we'll do is the slope day resolution. This is the one that Sadler Meyerhoff, presented. There was a rework of this resolution, and Tanya is also a sponsor of this, so I will turn it over to Tanya. I would ask that we have
no more than 4 minutes on the discussion.
So, very quickly, based on the discussion that the group had with us this year, last month,
can you hit the light? Thanks, Bridget.
So that is the change. We also added whereas with the employees are encouraged to volunteer and participate for that, make it successful. So that's kind of the piece that we added. Even though it's not the best for us, we are very much part of it. And I think those were the major changes. I think we changed the language a little bit in the Be It Resolved that we are encouraging them to consider selecting artists who are welcoming. The second one being that clergy and clergy kind of create support for our mission of a welcoming and respectful diverse community. And I think that those are the kind of talking points that we discussed.
Is there any questions or comments on this? David?
No, they were, I believe some of them were working. I think it's a mixed bag. I think some of the language.
Is my office trying to work?
No.
Volunteering for the event.
Working in. Wow. I actually heard another staff.
Do you remember specifically the artist, like the one artist that attended these pieces?
I think it was him and...
I think it's
being reflected by the lack of volunteers going down every year and kind of maybe for a manager or something if they don't have volunteers to take to man the event over time. So I've heard that yes, that there were people who used to volunteer every year and when the band started getting offensive, they will not go back again.
Any other comments? Being that there's no comments, go ahead.
It's hard for me to, look at this, not look at it the way like, who are we deciding what seasons or not, or what's respectful or not. I think it's something we could start with. I think the problem, the overarching problem is that maybe there's an education fault. Like, if people are being offended, what is it that's offending them?
Yes, so I think the spirit of it is, and Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but where I think the sponsors and the staff members that brought this forward is there needs to be an awareness. There's a lot of discussion right now towards new destinations, a lot of other initiatives, inclusionary language. It's a big part of who we are at Cornell, and I think what this is doing is it's saying, okay, there's an employee group and there's groups of employees who have concerns. And as the responsible party for selecting the artist, you need to have some initiatives or some logic to the selection process to try to encompass and include as much of the community as possible. And I think the concern of many of the sponsors is that that's not being done. There's not a conscious thought around the selection or if I choose X, what happens? If I choose Y, what happens? And I think we're encouraging that dialogue to take place much sooner and for them to have a greater awareness.
So, on that point, if we encourage and have it more be it resolved that they are open to dialogue at the time of the selection committee, you know, that would be to me a little bit more structured and emphasize the fact that you have to have staff to get this done. So can you include staff at the time of the of the meeting?
Well, I think the danger in that.
Sorry. No, go ahead. No,
I was just going to say, I think the danger, I think that's great, but I think the danger in that is what I think of as good music is
probably different than what the day planning commission thinks is good music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine for them to have music that I don't particularly care for. I think what we're asking is that we try and find artists that don't refer to, say, women in a very derogatory manner or refer to certain ethnicity in certain ways.
But are there not women at this
Yeah, there are, and there is staff involvement because they ultimately have an associate dean of students who supports that process. I don't think that, and this is my personal opinion now, not the position of the chair, I don't think that staff have a place to inject themselves in this Slope Day programming and do it to a great degree. I do think that this does serve a purpose of just saying, hey, let's be more conscious, and I think that this will spark a dialogue that may encourage some further conversation, but this in my personal opinion, is an appropriate first step towards creating that exchange. I got BJ, and then I'd ask that we can table or move on.
I would say my initial reaction to this when I first heard about it was, again, I don't want to sense it, but I think the language in this and our role as a university or as an employee assembly, using the word encourage, I think is exactly what we want to do. We're not necessarily telling the students in this conclusion that, you know, staff are not going to participate if the artists and stuff that we want, but applying the artists into something that we want. But the fact that it is an official statement from the employee center is that we encourage students to be part of the conversation, and we start that, is the reason why we support the students. So I think, to me, it is a very good first step. We're not legislating, but we're taking the steps with that.
Great.
I'm motioning to vote the discussion.
Is there any dissent? I'm seeing no dissent. Discussion is closed. All of those in favor, please raise your placard. Seven? Yeah, eight. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Do we carry? So how many people do we have in the room right now? It's majority. Yeah, it's majority. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So 8 would carry. Okay. Great. Motion carries. Thank you very much. We do have, it is 1:29. Could I ask anybody to extend for 4 minutes? Great. Any dissent? Thank you. Seeing none. The next piece of legislation is the staff engagement survey plan. Tanya?
So this is the one that we looked at back in March. We made some tweaks for that as well.
Can you just read the be it therefore resolves?
Yeah, so let me just read the be it therefore resolves. Plus of them. So be it therefore resolved that the Assembly recommends a formal staff engagement study and survey. The study be completed by the Office of the IRP every 5 years, so I was in Brooklyn. And the Human Resources and Safety Services be a sponsor of the study. Next, be it therefore resolved. Plus the director of
IRP.
Of IRP, tell me if the Assembly and share the plan survey items with the Assembly at least 6 months prior to the administration of the study. Be it therefore resolved that the aggregate data and key studies, key results of the study, be shared with the Assembly and parent communities. The university leaders utilize the data produced from the study to assemble and implement an comprehensive plan that assists unit and division leadership in improving staff engagement and compliance. An oversight committee be formed to review survey results and to make recommendations for subcommittees to address identified key issues. The oversight committee shall be appointed by the VP Human Resources and Safety Services and must include at least two members of the employee assembly. The subcommittee shall be staffed with employees from across the Cornell community and at least one representative from the employee assembly. And finally, copies of this resolution be provided to President Thornton and Vice President Hoffman for review of this policy.
Obviously, we're going to put the university president and vice president,
whoever it is. President elect Harris. Yeah. So, just for official, since Chinese Minister is in front of the.
Are we asking President Thornton to sign off on it, or are we asking President Barron?
Common, and and then my only question is, do we want to own it? I just agree with that comment, based on some conversations we've had with Mary, because she's really encouraged us to make sure that whatever we put forward on legislation is exactly what we want. And if we want to be an active part of the survey, rather than just punting it to someone else and waiting for the information, what role does the EA want to play? Do we want to just say, here, university, you do it, and you have to include two of us? Or do we want to say that we need to be more a part of the process?
Do we have, first of all, do we have the expertise? And can we guarantee that we have that expertise moving forward? And the time to own it.
Well, yeah.
I agree, and I think we came up some of that to say that they must give it up and not be involved in the case.
Yeah, so I get my point in ownership is nuanced, that the human resources is still the administrator of it, but do we sponsor it? So how do we tie ourselves to it so that it's our thing and not human resources thing? David?
Didn't she also encourage us to do this a little more often than
every 5 years?
Yeah. One of our last meetings, didn't she kind of like, okay, so then the other part of my, I was thinking about, like how much time the administration has to resolve this within our 5 year cycle. You know what I mean? They don't have 5 years to recognize and resolve our issues.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we can do is a follow-up resolution to this as we progress closer, that maybe lays out more of the specifics around this, but solidifying the fact that, yes, we want this every 5 years, this is important, human resources needs to administer it, we need to have a part in it, which I think that this does, and then we can further from there go into, we need to have the results within 12 months, we need to have X, Y, and Z, and do a little bit more of the specifics if we want. Gina? Yeah, and my comment was not on the implementation front. Is there thoughts to that? That it'd be sponsored in partnership with human resources in the EA and Human Resource Safety Services?
I think it's a way of certainty our name is further
Sure. Sure. Nope. Any dissent? All those in favor of this resolution? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay. Yeah, we're good. All right, by time, the meeting is adjourned. Appreciate everybody's effort. Great job today.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.